This is a phase one connotation hearing for Mr. David Cross. I do want to put on the record that there are two people here for Mr. Cross's hearing. I have Ms. Donna Hamm, who's a consultant that is here on the case, along with Robert Cross, who is the father of Mr. Cross. I do want to inform you that this is a phase one connotation hearing during phase one, that we don't have any input that actually comes from the public or from the actual defendant himself. I'm going to go over some information in relation to this, and the board will make a determination. This is a phase one commutation hearing. Mr. Cross is currently serving a 10-year sentence for dangerous drug violation. He is asking for a time served. He has a CSBD date of 3/17/23, and he's asking for time served. Says that he does have a detainer. He's currently serving counts 1 and 2, which are 1 and 2 concurrent to each other, in which he has one count 2 has expired, and he's requesting that count 1 be commuted to have an actual time served on his sentence here. I am going to go through part of his commutation application. Again, this application is for David Allen Cross, ADC numbers 229245. According to the information in the commutation application, it says that he was driving a vehicle. He was stopped by police on February 12th to 13th for allegedly having a headlight on his car. He had two passengers in the vehicle with him. This is one of whom was then his girlfriend, Shawana. She had placed some personal items in the trunk of his car because she was moving and he was helping her move. She was at that time working with her mother to regain custody of her children and stop. He exited the car. Cop says that he cooperated with the police, told him that he was a diabetic and that his demeanor was nervous and jittery. As a result of that, police determined that he was showing signs of using meth, and they asked if they could search his vehicle. Mr. Cross was cooperative, allowed the police to search his vehicle. Said at that time he had no reason to believe there was anything illegal in his car. He says that in the trunk of the car they did find some items, which was a bond, along with some residue, later determined by the spouses to be unusable, quantified. The police were going to arrest Shana and take her to jail, so he decided to, Mr. Cross says, this is his statement, he decided to tell a lie and claim the bond was his. Just when they went to court, Shawana retained an attorney, and she was charged and she took the Fifth Amendment, which meant that not only did she refuse to answer questions about the ownership, but she was not permitted to be in the court. He says that she was on probation for DUI at the time and didn't think he'd be able to get her out of jail. He says that his purpose for the commutation is that he feel like he was innocent of the crime because that he was convicted of, because he had no prior awareness that his girlfriend had put the possessions in the car and they contained broken bond, which was a usable amount of meth residue that was contained inside of him. Says he was convicted by a jury and that there was no plea bargain. It says he was not charged with his crime until 10 months later, and he feels that he's been punished for previous crimes for which he took full responsibility and paid his debt, and for exercising his right to take the matter to trial rather than to plead guilty to do something. Said that 6 months before he was charged, he knew about the present offense. He had moved to California and placed himself in the Salvation Army for about 2 months. Then he went to a sober living home called Sobriety Plus, completed there for a 6-month program. Then he moved into his own place and had his life together and was involved in a healthy relationship. Had no further contact with the criminal justice system until his current charges were actually brought up against him. says he did all the program and educational opportunities that he had the opportunity to do. He says that he has a permanent income from a family trust. However, he tended to work with one of his friends, Mr. Alexander, who's an attorney who manages a real estate company in San Diego. It does say that he was assisted in filling out his form by Donna Helm, who's the consultant. And according to his Ames report that we have here on file, that he did have a previous incarceration for disorderly conduct as well as a narcotic drug violation, where he did 2 years, 6 months, and 08 and 11 is when he had these charges of dangerous drug violation as well as drug paraphernalia, where he had 3 years on one sentence and a year and a half on the other sentence. They were all running concurrent, and he's now serving out the 10-year sentence that he currently has filed there. According to his report that while he was in there, he did not receive any major violations since he's been incarcerated. According to his Ames report, however, he did have a couple of minors that mostly were improperly resolved, and he had an obstruction that was a minor in 15. This is his first time to appear before the board according to his criminal history. In his background, he did have some criminal history, however, it was not a very extensive criminal history that he had. Did have marijuana possession, drug paraphernalia possession, ag assault with a deadly weapon. Whether he was actually charged with a disposition of those cases were not totally known according to the pre-sentence report. So we have here, he was actually charged with count one, which was found guilty. The defendant was found guilty by a jury by trial, possession or use of drugs, dangerous drugs with a class two felony. He also was charged with possession of drug paraphernalia with two prior felony convictions, which was a class six. He was given a 10-year sentence, which was the presumptive sentence that he had. That sentence was run concurrent with count two, received a 3.75 year sentence on count one. It says that the possession of dangerous drug in class four non-dangerous felony was committed on July 20th, and he was convicted on the 10th. At that time, he was did have two prior felony convictions that he had. He did appeal his conviction and ask for a relief, and that was to the Arizona Court of Appeals. During that time, it was filed on January 16th of 2018. He did get a review, and at that time it was denied. The statement in there says we have reviewed the record in the matter. The Superior Court's order denying the petition for post-conviction relief. In the petition for review, we find that petitioner has not established an abuse of discretion. We grant review and deny the relief, so they did do the relief. And prior to that, he also had appealed to the Arizona Court of Appeals of his conviction. According to the records that we have, the cross conviction and sentence was affirmed at that time. I do want to make note that Mr. Cross says that he did take a lie detector. There's information here that he actually did take a lie detector, and according to the information that we have here with Mr. Cross, two questions were asked prior to being stopped by the police on February 12, 2013. Did you know for sure there was a bomb in the trunk of the car? His answer was no. And then the second question, did you own the bomb that police found in the trunk of the car? And the answer was no. According to the examiner's report, it says that no deception was indicated. One of the reasons that, the main reason that we have for a commutation hearing is to see if the sentence that was imposed was excessive. He did receive the presumptive amount of time in the crime that the 10-year sentence that he had. He did have two other sentences that he had, or one other sentence that he had that was running concurrent, and so I don't think that it was excessive. There are also letters of support in the file that are here The question comes into that Mr. Cross did, in the original stop, admit that the bottle belonged to him, that the items found in the trunk of the vehicle stated that he belonged to him. He later changed that story and said that they actually belonged to his girlfriend, who he was helping to move. The court found him guilty of those charges. He appealed the court's decision, and that was upheld by the court. He asked for a review, and that was also upheld. So based on all the information that we have, the only conflict in information that we have is the original information of Mr. Cross when he stated that he originally stated that the bomb belonged to him, and he later changed his story, and that his girlfriend, Solana, took the fifth and got an attorney. She couldn't testify, so there's no indication that she ever claimed that that property belonged to her. So based on the information that we do have, there's no information to cross and say that the charges that was originally charged and that the decision of the two higher courts who upheld the decision was wrong. Therefore, I do not see the sentence as being excessive at this time. Therefore, to my knowledge, I do not see this as being eligible to be passed on to a phase two hearing. That would be, that's my understanding at this time. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues.
Mr. Johnson, do we, and you know, this is, I have to admit, to the best of my knowledge, I'm switching my mind so from all. Phew, I would apologize for that. I believe that this is the first time that we've had a polygraph evidence presented to the board. Do you feel that's necessary to take that into consideration? That's a question. I'm not suggesting anything with that, because as I said, to the best of my knowledge, this is the first time that we've had a package like this presented to the board since I've been on the board, and I'm just raising the question.
To my knowledge, I haven't had one, but I did review the polygraph examination. I did take it under consideration. However, the difference is that it went to two higher courts, and I'm going to base the information based on the appeals that we had to the courts, and the courts upheld it. And then the other deduction is that there's no evidence or information that the information did not belong to Mr. Cross, as he did state in his own words when he was originally first stopped by the police officer, that those items in that vehicle belonged to him, and he took responsibility for it. It was not until after the arrest and trial that that story actually decided to change. So I did see it in here, so I did look at it, but based on all the information contained in the information that we have, I still do not find that the sentence that he actually received was excessive. And I would just only make the assumption that those polygraphs probably were part of, may have been part of the evidence when the appeals were being done, but we can only base the information on what we have here in the report. So that's basically where I made the decision. I took the decision. I mean, we can't overturn the two higher courts' decision. So the information's there, and if there's a process that's not ours, I'm looking at the sentence, whether it was excessive, and I don't see it being excessive as he received the presumptive, and he received the presumptive, which he could have received higher because he did have prior felony convictions. Mr. Canellas.
I just wanted to add, for the sake of discussion, this is a professional opinion, that polygraph examinations have much more to do, or a much greater tool as an interviewing tool, ultimately with the intention of getting a confession, not necessarily clearing an individual, and I have never been a very big fan of them, to put it in common language. Just putting it out there. Thank you.
Okay, hearing no other comments coming from the board, I am going to make a motion to deny Mr. Cross moving on to a phase two commutation here. That would be my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay. Motion by myself, second by Mr. Neal. Agree, Mr. Canellas. Agree, Dr. Wright.
I think as much as you pointed out the fact about the court, the couple of court rules, I guess I would have to agree, although I agree with reservations because of the polygraph, but I will agree, sir.
That will conclude the hearing at this time.